Welcome to the Steelers Battle League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody, William Tanner. Cody, how are you this fine Monday?
I am fantastic, sir. I had a long day at work, started 2 hours late. The work doesn't matter. I'm good. I always feel like I talk about work and I don't mean to. It's just because it's on my mind because I just came from there.
Yeah, I get you.
But no, I'm good. Weekend was, for the most part, enjoyable. Playoff football was actually really, really freaking good. Even though not all the games went the way I wanted them to, it was good football all around. All four games. Hot dog. I don't remember the last time that's happened. Normally there's one blowout. At least one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How are you?
Yeah, it's such a stark contrast from the original weekend where we had multiple blowouts. This time we had a lot of great games. Fun games to watch if you're a football fan. Especially fun if you were looking to see one particular really old quarterback get eliminated. That was fun.
I don't know who that could be. Like, maybe his name starts
Aaron
with
Rodgers.
Tom.
Aaron Rodgers. I wanted him. No. Obviously, Brady is who I wanted out. It's nice to see that man sitting at home and done for the offseason. And maybe even contemplating retirement. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm just.
I doubt he's gonna.
No, I mean he. Yeah. Here's the question: Does he go play somewhere else?
I don't think so. He's got too many weapons there. Where is he gonna go? Where he's gonna have that many weapons?
Anywhere he goes, people are gonna follow him. Let's be real.
Yeah,
he's gonna go somewhere else and bring. He's gonna bring AB back.
he's running out of people though. I mean, Gronk is nowhere near what he used to be.
No, which is
he's wild. Running out of people that are gonna take a discount to go play with him.
Yeah. That's true. It's very true. But yeah, so anyways.
Let's get into Steelers news, man. So
let's get into Steelers by the Lake news.
Yeah.
We got a new download in a new country.
That's right. The great country of Bulgaria with the first download we've ever seen. So if you're listening to this show, we appreciate the download. Hope you come back for more. And feel free to drop us a line on Facebook or even an email if you'd like on how you found us and anything you like about the show.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so now Steelers news. We have a lot of Steelers news, a lot of signings, a lot of roster moves, blah, blah, blah. First one, Broncos did claim the punter Carlos Waitman off of our waiver or off of the waiver wire when he went back down. And so he is gone. Big sad. Gone. Big sad because he would have put up a fight in training camp.
It would have been a hell of a battle between him and Presley Harvin III, no doubt. So it'd be interesting to see if the Broncos sign him to a futures deal. He'll basically have to be signed to like a restricted tender or something like that if they choose not to do so. He could still end up an unrestricted free agent. The Steelers could still bring him back into camp. So we'll see what they decide to do as far as the backup punter situation and someone to compete. One thing that's pretty nice as far as the leftover salary cap space from last year, a lot of people were crying for Pittsburgh to go out and sign some free agents that would have made a big difference at the end of the season there. And honestly, I don't think there was really too many people out there that would have, and I think it would have been kind of a waste of cap space to do so.
Yeah.
By leaving that space there, they are able to roll $8 million into next year, which is fantastic. That will help Pittsburgh not only retain guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, but gives you some extra wiggle room when it comes to trying to bring in larger free agents. So whether it be a shutdown corner or a middle linebacker that can play next to Devin Bush or an offensive lineman wouldn't even be an awful thing, right?
You might argue that it'd be the best thing, but
there might be two or three holes there. I don't know.
Maybe. No, that's the problem. There weren't many holes. Unless you're coming from the other direction.
Yeah,
there was too many. Sure. Also, yeah. Deontay Johnson is more than likely, well, let me clarify, is receiving his proven performance escalator to his 2022, which will up his $1.6 million to what, 2.6?
0.6, yeah. 0.6. So the 1.6 is the extra money on top of his rookie deal.
Dang.
So that's a nice, healthy extra check that he's going to be getting for sure. But when you look at his numbers from last year, he had a zillion catches, a bunch of yards, seven or eight touchdowns.
Like, Deontay, don't drop that when you get numbers. Close to the bank.
Yeah, right.
Yikes. I couldn't resist that one.
He'll only drop it in October, November, and December. He's good beginning of the year. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's great at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
For sure. Other news. Steelers can rework Big Ben's deal to save $7.755 million in cap space for 2022, which is huge because they're already going in with obviously the $8 million rollover plus the pretty penny that they were already looking at. Pittsburgh did a good job with the cap space and might be able to make something out of it depending on how well they can do draft and free agency and stuff like that this year. So it'll be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. An extra 7.755 mil would be welcome on the books. That's a high quality player. In my opinion, you're paying somebody that much money. You're probably getting a pretty good starter out of it. I would say if you're paying that to like an offensive lineman, you're probably going to feel pretty good about the quality offensive lineman you just signed. Even a corner, you know, that could be enough money to re-sign Akello Witherspoon right there. Mm-hmm. So you never know. I mean, Cam Sutton, I think, is on right around $4 or $5 million per year on his deal. So you would assume Akello would want more than that, and that kind of money would come very, very welcome to the future salary cap space. So this upcoming season, Ben will count a hair over $10 million against the salary cap unless they rework this deal. So that's something that you would look to probably hear about within the next couple of weeks here, as I want to say 5 days after the Super Bowl is when his contract would terminate, which would then kick in all the penalties down the road that they were kicking the can down. So that would be really, really cool. In similar news to Big Ben there, Coach Tomlin in his press conference did declare it an open competition at the quarterback position.
All right.
Which we expected. He's not going to just hand it to anybody. Nobody went out there and blew his socks off. Otherwise, they probably would have benched Ben for whoever it was, right?
Yep.
So Mason will get a chance. Dwayne will get a chance. And whoever the heck they bring in, because there will be more people. I'm interested to see if Josh Dobbs is brought back. I wonder if he'll get an opportunity to compete in this as well.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they make any moves in free agency, even if it's signing a low tier player, like people are taking guesses at Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, two names I wouldn't want on the team, but curious to see if they take a chance with somebody like that, just to see if they can prove anything in camp, and who knows, maybe under a different offensive coordinator or different, positional coach, whatever it is, maybe someone can make something happen. So
I think the guys that we should probably keep our eyes on are the more mobile and semi-young quarterbacks. Those guys that have been in the league for like 3 to 7 years. I think Mariota's probably going to be on the short list.
Yep.
What's his name? The kid from North Carolina that played for the Bears. He's Mitch probably going to be. Yeah, Trubisky's probably going to be on the list. Andy Dalton wouldn't be a bad bridge quarterback. He'd be available. Not the athletic type that Tomlin is looking for, but capable of running an offense, capable of getting you 8 or 9 wins and maybe getting you into the playoffs. So we'll see what they do, but I think keep your eyes more peeled towards the more athletic types.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really what Tomlin is pushing towards with all the comments he's made through the last year.
And bad news for those of you wishing we'd pull in A-Rod or Russell Wilson. James and I both firmly believe that will not happen because we don't think either one of them. And here's the thing. Maybe A-Rod would take a pay cut to come play for Mike Tomlin. They have a friendship. That's no hidden thing. I don't see it happening. But Russell Wilson for sure is not taking a pay cut to come to Pittsburgh.
No. He's way too young.
He sees how bad our offensive line is. And here's the thing. If Pittsburgh does that, your cap room to do anything else in free agency to improve the cornerback room or the offensive line or the middle linebacker depth is straight gone. Can't do it. Russell Wilson, in my opinion, even Derek Carr off the board. You can't afford him.
Yep. Yeah, I'm 100% with Cody on this. It's too much cap space. What they need to focus on right now is building through the draft for the next couple of years. I mean, if you get a quarterback, fantastic. But I think, honestly, they should focus on a lot of the other positions first, build that depth, and get to the point where you have a lot more starters that you're confident in through the draft process. And a couple in free agency, too. You know, try to get some of those guys coming off of rookie deals that are still in their mid-20s and see if you can build enough there and then get your quarterback piece.
Yes, sir.
But if you go blow all the money on the quarterback, then there's just nothing left. And that's a problem because we're going to need to spend some money on some guys here. Need to reinvest in some of these positions that have not been invested in highly enough or recently enough.
Yeah, if we want to have any chance at a future, we need to focus on players that can come in and be supporting roles to whoever becomes quarterback, whether next year or in the future. So speaking of future contracts were signed, a few of them to be exact.
Yeah, multiple days. So we're going to go over the first wave, and then there was two guys the next day, and then two guys the day after that. So we'll start off with the original 12. Now, first one was defensive lineman Daniel Archibong, which is probably a familiar name to some of you, who's on the practice squad most of the year. Actually got called up and played a couple games and looked like he had pretty good hustle and kind of looked like he belonged to me personally. As a bigger dude, I want to say he was like 6'6", a little over 300 pounds. So kind of fits the mold of what they like in their defensive end / defensive tackle types. Number two, your boy, Rico Bussey Jr.
The man from Hawaii himself, Rico Bussey. Rico Bussey is a player that I think in the next few years could definitely come out and be, if Pittsburgh wants to stop investing in wide receivers in the draft and start trying to develop some people, Rico Bussey is someone that I think could come in and be a solid 4 or 5 wide receiver. And even not blazing fast, but even some potential return possibilities for him, just for the simple fact that he's big and lengthy. Sometimes you can see those guys make something happen in the return game. Not very often, but every now and then there's one that you're like, why are you returning? You're really big. And then they just do something crazy.
Yeah. So the thing I see here too with Rico is with the pending free agent. So James Washington obviously is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So is Ray McLeod. So is Juju Smith-Schuster. There is plenty of room for wide receivers. I don't think Pittsburgh will invest in wide receiver high in the draft, and they don't have a ton of picks in this upcoming draft class either. So a guy like him would have a pretty decent chance, I would think, of sneaking on the back end of the roster this upcoming season. Another guy to look out for, defensive tackle Khalil Davis. This is the twin brother of Carlos Davis, who the Steelers drafted a couple years ago and has been a back of the roster defensive lineman. But this is the more athletic brother of the two. He was drafted about a round before Carlos was, and had a faster 40-yard dash, more reps on the bench, and a lot more production in college. So this actually could be a situation where he pushes his twin brother off the roster, which would just be the most ironic thing ever. But we'll see. I'm glad that he's going to be in camp and competing next year, because it looks like the defensive line is going to be a little bit more deep than it was last year. And it was fairly deep last year, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. Another position was offensive guard, Nathan Gilliam. Is that how
people say
Gilliam?
Yeah, Nathan Gilliam. He was a late in the year COVID replacement. So he's on the practice squad for like 2 weeks. Must see they saw something out of him enough to want to bring him to camp and see if he can compete. The other guard, Malcolm Pridgeden, was on the practice squad most of the year. Nothing special there. I want to say he got in on some late action of some of the preseason games and looked like he belonged on the practice squad at best.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything really with Mr. Pridgeden, unfortunately. Outside linebacker Delonte Scott was on the practice squad a decent amount this year, but nothing really to talk about significantly with him. A little more significant with kicker Sam Sloman, who Pittsburgh kept around the team as much as they could this year. A lot of waving him and then re-signing him and then waving him and then re-signing him. He seemed to be the emergency backup kicker to Boswell this year.
Yep.
So they'll bring him into camp. I don't see any chance of him beating out Boswell. But you never know when a guy like that could build enough value where maybe somebody will cough up a 7th-round pick to trade for him.
Yeah.
So happy to see a guy with some pedigree coming back to Pittsburgh there. How about defensive back Lyndon Stevens? You remember him from the preseason, don't you, Cody?
I do remember him. I thought he played fairly well in the preseason. You didn't see anything too crazy out of him. Like, you didn't see
any pick sixes. Yeah, he had a couple breakups.
Yeah, he had breakups. You didn't see any, like, interceptions or anything like that. I thought the biggest thing with him was he was always within 3 to 5 yards from the receiver he was guarding when in man or in zone. And that was what was important to me. He didn't just go into a zone. He was big. He was very big. He didn't just go into
a 220, huge for a corner.
Yeah. But my biggest thing was he didn't go into a zone and play away from a player, which I think happens so often. He went with the player in his zone, even if it was on the edge of his zone. So who knows what we could see from him moving forward. But even more impressive than him, the safety Donovan Steiner. We talked about him too.
Yeah, we like Donovan Steiner. He looked good in the preseason. Donovan Steiner. War number 26, which always is going to get my attention as a defensive back, that's for sure. But Donovan had the size. He looked like he knew what he was doing and seemed to be, if Pittsburgh was going to keep a fifth safety, it would have definitely been Donovan Steiner. Yep. So he'll get a chance to prove himself again this year. Look for him to get a ton of reps in this upcoming preseason. Especially we'll see what happens with Terrell Edmonds, whether or not Pittsburgh re-signs him. If they don't, then they'll be looking to add a new strong safety. And Steiner was a guy that I want to say was about 6'2", 210, and has the size that he could play either free or strong. Right next to Donovan Steiner on this list is the guy I might be most excited about of all of them.
I knew it was going to be this guy.
Tight end Jace Sternberger. Jace was a lot of fun to watch in college. I remember seeing his games quite a bit, and he was a third-round draft pick just 2 years ago. So this could very easily be a guy that wins the number three tight end position. And because of the fact that he's only been in the league for 2 years, I believe, Pittsburgh could control him still for the next 2 years and not have to pay him a bunch of money. So I'm excited to get him to camp. I'm excited to see him in the preseason. I think this is the kind of guy that whoever the number two quarterback is going into a preseason game is just going to abuse throwing the ball to, because he can make you look really good if you throw it to a guy like that going against backup linebackers and backup safeties. Jace can probably make some people look pretty silly in this upcoming preseason.
Absolutely. Also, wide receiver Tyler Vaughns was signed. And someone else that matters too, James, a long snapper.
Yeah, Rex Sunahara, I believe.
He believes.
But that's as close as I'm going to get. That's fine. I never got...
That's fine. Long snapper Rex. We'll call him long snapper Rex.
The very next day, Pittsburgh signed two more guys to futures contract. Wide receiver Steven Sims, who was on the practice squad almost the entire year this year, and did get called up in one game. Kind of a jitterbug kind of guy with some return capability. Then defensive back, specifically corner, Isaiah Johnson, who was the kid out of Kentucky with the really good combine numbers.
Yeah.
So they'll get a chance to get a look at him too, which just seems more and more important to get some corners with speed as we see Kansas City cooking everyone with their super speedy wide receivers.
Yep.
So we'll see if anything comes to either one of those guys. What about our current and future long snapper, Cody? Tell me about what happened with him.
Christian frickin' Kuntz, current long snapper, because long snappers matter too.
Yes.
Signed to a one-year deal.
They sure do.
Signed to a one-year deal. Woo-hoo. Active deal. So this is not a futures contract. This is nothing like that. He is on the team for another year as the starter unless something crazy happens.
Yeah. We'll see if Rex can beat him out, but I doubt it because Christian Kuntz is the man.
Yep.
The very next day, Steelers signed two more guys the futures contracts. Names are going to sound familiar. Trey Edmonds, the running back, who is the brother of Terrell Edmonds, who's been on our practice squad for like 4 years now.
Yep.
But he's a good special teamer and a capable running back. Then also offensive tackle Chaz Green, who was also on the practice squad most of the year, with a kind of shaky resume as far as his previous NFL experience, but he is an offensive tackle. So there you go.
Yep.
Biggest Steeler news of the entire week, defensive coordinator Keith Butler retired.
Yeah, he did. Big news.
At 65
I don't
years old.
At 65 years old. I don't know. I feel okay with that. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I feel like there were some schematic things that needed to change. There's been a lot of teams being able to just scheme up linebackers versus wide receivers, and Pittsburgh just not adjusting to it. So I feel like you need to have somebody else come in and say, hey, when that happens, how about you two just switch who you're covering, and then we got a better matchup.
Yep. And I also feel like Keith Butler was a little frustrated, I even feel like personally, because he said, if I remember correctly, in an interview or something, he said that Mike Tomlin was the one calling the plays anyways.
Yeah.
So. Which I hope isn't. Yep. I hope that isn't the case in the future, personally. Mike Tomlin needs to focus on being a head coach.
He does, and that begins with having a defensive coordinator that he trusts fully. And if he was calling the plays, that means he wasn't fully trusting Keith Butler to do his job, which is unfortunate, but we got to at least give Keith credit. The last 5 years in a row, the Steelers had the number one sacking defense in the entire NFL. So maybe it wasn't the best defense, but it was the best defense at sacking the quarterback 5 years straight, which is one heck of an accomplishment. So in an area that Keith Butler did specifically specialize in, he was the linebackers coach before becoming the defensive coordinator. You got to give him credit. He was able to get together a really good pass rush. In fact, the best pass rush in the NFL 5 years consecutively.
Yep.
So as many deficiencies as they may have had, he did have that one card that was the best in the NFL.
Now, I'm going to ask you something that I didn't plan, but I'm bringing it up now.
No, let's do it.
Because I have a very specific opinion on this matter, and I want to hear your opinion. What should be done with Matt Canada?
Well,
the offensive coordinator.
I think that you give him one more year, just because I remember so many times last year where it was very frustrating. A lot of play calls were bad. There's no doubt about that. But to the same regards, when Ben throws the ball to the running back 13 times in one game and like none of them are screen plays, that means he's going to his fourth or fifth option before he's going to any of the other guys, because he's just not comfortable throwing the ball down the field. I do think that you need to give Matt Canada the opportunity to have a quarterback who is not in that point in his career where he just wants to check it down every single time. And I think that's where Ben was this year, is that he was just Mr. Checkdown Charlie, and he was not throwing down the middle of the field. He was not throwing more than 5 or 6 yards down the field, and he wasn't throwing past the sticks on third downs. And a lot of times you're looking at it and receivers are running past where they need to go, and he's just throwing it to the shortest guy on the pattern every single time. If there's a drag route, that's who it's going to. If it's a slant, that's who it's going to. If there's a running back coming out of the backfield that he can dump it off to, that's who he's going to. And never the guys down the field other than like the deep shots. And I feel like it's really kind of unfair to Matt Canada to just say Matt Canada is straight trash. And he had some calls that were straight trash. Like, I won't sugarcoat that. But I do feel like Ben kind of held him back this year. And I'd like to see what he can do with his creativity with somebody who's not got a foot and a half into retirement already.
Fair.
How about you?
Fair points. I'm not too far from you. I'm not too far. I think you give him another year, but I think you max it out on that. You either have success or you don't. You can't wait around for something like this.
Yes.
I also firmly believe that Matt Canada was crippled by an aging quarterback and a less than lackluster offensive line. Now, I will say that I believe more than 50% of the play calls on third down that went behind the line of scrimmage or to the line of scrimmage were play called that way, which were issues, and I hope he improves from that. But again, when you have an offensive line that can't block very long, or and you have a quarterback that, you know, can't, is inconsistent.
He couldn't extend the play, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't extend the play to buy time when the offensive line didn't block.
Yeah. So I think that Matt Canada gets a pass this year. I think it's a hard pass. Like, it's hard for me to say that.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
But I agree. Everyone calling for him to get fired. Even me during the year, I was calling for it. processing it now and looking back on it and understanding everything, you got 1 year. Don't make these stupid play calls again. And here's the thing. You're an offensive coordinator. You're not a scout. You don't have power in the draft room, but you have a voice. You need to say, I want to be successful. I need these things. Let's get them. Whether it's free agency or the draft, you need to man up and say those things. Otherwise, it still falls on your shoulders. You need to let the team know what you need to do the things you want to do as an offensive coordinator. Period.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think we're pretty similar on this one for sure, which honestly surprises me the way you're going for that all year. But yeah, I do feel, I mean, when I look back at it, it wasn't Matt Canada dropping all those passes on third downs, you know, and it's tough with, I feel like Ben checking it down over and over and over had to be insanely frustrating for Canada. And at a certain point, he probably just said, screw it, and didn't care what the play was because he knew Ben was going to check it down anyway.
Yes and no. There is one play in my brain that I still remember, and I remember very clearly because it was recent. But where Matt Canada's reaction pissed me off, to say it straightforward, was the stupid fourth down and one sweet play. And he reacted like he was so upset it didn't work. Shut up.
Yeah, it had no chance.
You should have not shown up for that game, sir.
Yeah. Yep. And a game that we were struggling to run the ball. How in the world do you feel confident calling that play on fourth down? I'm 100% with you on that one. That was not his best call of the year, maybe his worst one.
Yeah.
Speaking of calls, and this is not Steelers related, but we have some opinions on this, and I think it's important that we talk about this. So some really fun games.
Because things are going to change. Things are going to change in the offseason. We're going to talk more NFL as a whole, not just Steelers specifically. Steelers. Yeah, we'll talk NFL as a whole as well. So.
Yeah, especially the next few weeks or so where the NFL playoffs are happening, the Super Bowl happening. In between the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl, we're actually going to have the East-West Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl the same week, which they were always like 1 week after the other previously. Now they're the same week, so we're going to get you some coverage on that too, tell you who we like from those games. And what prospects to keep an eye out that Pittsburgh might have their eye on. Mm-hmm. But one thing everyone had their eye on was that Bills-Chiefs game last night. And a lot of people talking about how the game went to overtime, the coin toss happened, the Chiefs won the coin toss, they went right down the field and got the touchdown, and that's just not fair, man. That's not fair. Everybody should get a participation trophy and get a chance. And we have some differing opinions on this one, and I'll start off by throwing mine out there. In the area that we live, it's probably split evenly between Steelers fans, Bills fans, and Browns fans. So there's a lot of support for the Bills fans around here, and for the Bills in general. My opinion on this is pretty simple. You know, if you're a competitive team, if you're a team that thinks you're going to go to the playoffs, has a chance to go to the playoffs, you should be building your roster around the teams that you know you'll have to beat in order to get to the Super Bowl. And that includes a team. If you're in the AFC, you know the Chiefs are the favorite team. They've been either in the championship game or going to the Super Bowl every year since Mahomes has come to town. So you know you have to be able to build a team that can, A, score with them, which everybody seems to be focusing on the score with them side, B, be able to get a stop when you need one. Because if you, let's say you're down by 4 points, or you're up by 4 points, and they're driving at the end of the game to go score a touchdown, nobody's going to give you another chance when time expires when they scored a touchdown and now they're up by three. Like, you need to be able to get those stops when the time comes. And the reason I say that is because for years, people in the draft community have been saying, when is the year that the Buffalo Bills will address the cornerback position and give Trey White some help? Trey White, if you're not familiar with it, is their former first-round pick from 2017, a shutdown corner, absolutely phenomenal guy. He was injured for this game, so he was not available. But since the 2017 draft class, In 2018, the Bills took a corner in both the fourth round and fifth round. 2019, they took one in the sixth round. 2020, took one in the seventh round. And then last year in 2021, they took one in the sixth round as well. So you're looking at this year after year, and they've just completely neglected the position. But they knew they were good now. You're not the same team you were 10 years ago. You're a playoff contender now. You're going to have to beat the Bills. And your plan was to just go with sixth and seventh round picks opposite of Trey White to shut down Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill. That's not good enough. If you're not going to draft them, you better get one in free agency. But you need to build to stop the teams that will prevent you from getting to the Super Bowl. And to me, it just shows a failure in the Bills' team-building process. They have an excellent team, but they're not addressing cornerback number two. They just keep on putting glue on it every year and saying, well, this is going to be fine. We got Trey White and we got two killer safeties. That's good enough. What if everybody just throws to the other side of the field the same way? So to me, you got to build a defense the same as you build an offense. It can't be just put all your eggs into the offensive basket and hope to outscore every team every week and then just claim it's not fair when you don't get an extra opportunity to. Your defense has to play too. They got to get their stops when they're supposed to get them. But Cody, I want to hear your opinion because we're quite different on this one.
That we are, sir. We are quite different on this one. For the simple fact, not that I think everyone needs a participation trophy, as you would put it, but I firmly believe that when a team plays well enough to come back in a game, and here's the thing, I'll even bring this up. Kansas City, two or three years ago in the AFC Championship game, played the New England Patriots. New England scored, I think, 24 points or something in the fourth quarter. It might have been like 15. I can't remember exactly. But in the fourth quarter to come back and tie, won the coin toss in overtime and beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs that year then put a vote in or put a new rule change request in that each team got the ball in overtime. That was denied, and now they just won because of that. So I firmly believe that not to be in a game where the refs are there to make it fair, there's 11 on 11. The game is designed to be a fair chance game. Each team gets the same opportunities. That's why one team receives a kickoff at the beginning of the game. The other team receives a kickoff at the start of the second half. The teams then understand the parameters of, okay, but if they still score at the end of the half, we still get the ball. Or if we score, we get the ball, whatever. There's game planning that goes into that. And I'm not saying there's not game planning that goes into overtime, but there is so much less that you can do when it's overtime. Hey, if you score a touchdown, you win. I'm telling you this, and I don't think anyone would disagree with me. No matter who won that coin toss last night, they were winning the game. When you can score 25 points or whatever it was in 2 minutes left in the fourth between the two teams, there was no defense on either side of the ball. So again, what you're saying is absolutely correct, but neither team had a defense that game, or at least late in that game, to be clear. I'm not saying they need to go to college rules where you get, you know, one shot from the 25 or whatever it is. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that if a team scores a touchdown on their first drive in overtime, the other team, kick a field goal, go for two, whatever you want to do, or kick an extra point, the other team gets a kickoff. If you can run down and make the clock go to zero, fine. Whatever, more power to you. But the other team gets a kickoff. And if they don't score, or if they get turnover on downs, or if they get interception or whatever, game over. But I think that each team should have a chance, because in a game like last night, the team that lost the coin flip in overtime was going to lose that game no matter what. And that's not fun to me. That sucks. That's boring. That's not fair. And the game is designed to be fair.
Question to you, let's say they had already done that in this instance.
Okay.
That rule's already in effect. The Chiefs score the first time. Let's say the Bills answer it and score a touchdown. Is it now sudden death?
No, you go until someone gets a stop.
You just keep on going until it's fair enough.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Why not?
So you're just going college rules.
No, but no,
Is there a clock?
Sure. Sure. If you
because what's going to happen is that third team that gets the ball then is just going to run the clock out. Is that not fair? Now do we need a second overtime?
What do you mean the third team? Run the clock down and get it
to where it's tied again, you mean? No, I'm saying so the Chiefs score the touchdown, the Bills tie it up, the Chiefs get the ball back. There's probably at this point only like 5 minutes left of overtime. They're just going to run the clock down and then kick a field goal to end it.
That's fine.
But doesn't the Bills deserve a chance to get another chance? That's not fair to the Bills.
No, because they had a chance. I think that the one and done is the part that sucks. Because either team, I get what you're saying, and I understand that it looks dumb on my part. I get it. But in overtime, literally, it was literally whoever got that coin toss was going to win. And that sucks. Yeah. That sucks. That's crappy football, in my opinion. And it was a great game, but that really sucked because, again, like I said, Kansas City put in a rule change for it because they were upset by it. And then they just won because of that. The rule change didn't take in effect. I think that in the playoffs, it's the same thing that I don't think there should be ties in football in general. I just don't think that there should be ties. I think that the Pittsburgh-Detroit game should have played out until somebody, like at that point, if you go through an entire overtime and no one scores, play till the next score. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't get the whole 10 minutes in the regular season for 15? Overtime. That's dumb.
Why is it not 15?
It used to be 15, but they changed it to 10 for some reason. It's dumb. Weird. I don't like it. My only thing with if we go ahead and change the overtime rules again, because we've already done this once because we decided that it wasn't fair that if a team just kicked the field goal, the game was over and the other team. So we were deciding at that point that a team should not have to be expected to stop somebody from gaining like 50 yards of offense and kicking a field goal. So now we're saying you don't need to stop them at all.
I think the game is changing. You just
need to focus on your offense, draft nothing but offensive players every year, and make sure you score every time you get the ball.
That's my point. And that's what Kansas City, don't get me wrong, Kansas City's defensive line is phenomenal, but Kansas City's offense is drastically better than their defense. Drastically. Yeah. I don't know. When you can throw the ball to Tyreek over the middle and have four different players chase him down and not touch him.
Yep.
What the frick? I don't know.
Get yourself a sauce gardener in the first round to go cover him up.
You want to know how we make it fair? You want to know how we make it fair in the NFL? Every single team gets to use Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. That way they all get their participation trophy.
I'm going to hit you in the face. Yeah, I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know how you feel about it. If you guys want, you can comment on the post or whatever. If you want to appear on the podcast, send us a video. Take a video of yourself explaining how you feel about overtime. We can air part of that on the show maybe next time. Send that to us at our Gmail at steelersbythelake@gmail.com. We would love to hear your guys' input and share that on the podcast. So
One last thing before we wrap today's show up, because we don't have a whole lot more topics to talk about. We've been teasing the fact that we're going to do a little breakdown on the Defensive Player of the Year candidates. That's coming up extremely soon, either later this week or early next week, depending on when we're able to get that together, depending on our schedules. But we're going to get that together for you guys and give you that nice breakdown on why TJ Watt should be it and why anyone voting for anyone else is just
trash.
Complete nincompoop.
Yeah, pretty much. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Ring the bell, hit the notification button, and make sure you follow and subscribe. Thank you. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.